We've got a thing coming up on the 22nd. I think it's important. It's the first day of autumn. Fall is here. It's getting close, so we'll keep announcing that. We've got Sunday, September 28th, is going to be our next birthday and anniversary celebration. Cookies, cupcakes, and ice cream in the Pears and Spares room, so be sure to join us. And I think that's all we've got for today. I don't think there's anything else much new. I will say one thing. We are, in a very small way, supporting a new group in Rockwood called Celebrate Recovery. I keep mentioning this once in a while. The group is growing. It's a recovery program, not just for drugs or alcohol, but for any addiction, be it anger or smoking or whatever it may be. And it's growing. We've gone from 12 or so, and last week we had like 25 people. So we're a part of it. We're recognized as a sponsor of it. Like I say, it's small. What do? Well, I do the prayer requests. They fill out prayer requests. I get them. I come in here during the week, and I pray over them. And that's really our involvement, other than I go there every week and help when I can. So that's just a little something different and new. And it's working. It's growing. It's something Rockwood needs. Addiction's a problem. Does anybody have anything else? Okay. Liam, all yours.
Our first, our call to worship today is Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Please stand as we sing.
Dearest Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful that we can be here today to praise you and honor you with our words of prayer and with our songs, our hymns. Lord, let this next hour be an hour of peace. Let it be an hour of fellowship, and let it be an hour of learning. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us, and we thank you that we are here today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first hymn is On Eagle's Wings.
Tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. Like a shepherd who leaves the 99 to search for one lost sheep. Like a woman who lights a lamp and sweeps her house to find one lost coin. When the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, when the woman finds the lost coin, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, Jesus tells us that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Come, let us worship the God who seeks the lost. Let us worship together with joy, for we are God's beloved, and we are found. For today's joys and concerns, unfortunately, again, we have some tragedies for the week. I guess for the whole month of September, we'll want to remember 9/11. 9/11 was a day of tragedy for this country. You know, when it happened, we said that we would never forget. Yet if you go around today, there are people who either weren't here or have forgotten just what happened, what tragedy occurred on 9/11. I think that's a mistake. I think it's something we should always remember. We talked about the Charlie Kirk murder. That is a very bad thing. And I think now that what we need to do is pray for this country. I think that there's a bad trend going on with too much violence and too much suffering and too much dissension and everything else in this world today, in this country today. So I think if anything else, we should pray to end some of this and try to get some peace and some rationality back in this world instead of all the hate and the violence that I seem to hear about every day. I believe it was off the shore of the Congo. We had two boats sink last week. There were 193 people who died in it, and many of them were students on school trips. So let us pray for their souls and pray for all of their families, loved ones, and friends who lost somebody in that tragedy. It's always terrible to hear about mass deaths and mass catastrophes. That's all I've got for today. I think that's enough bad news as it is. Does anybody have anything else? Thank you. It's now time for tithes and offerings. Dearest Heavenly Father, we're eternally grateful for all that you do for us and have done for us, and you're going to do for us in the future. Lord, please accept these tithes and these offerings as a small token of our appreciation for all that you do. Amen. The ushers will come forward.
Our next hymn is Close to Thee.
Thank you.
Well, today's message is named The Heart of Heaven. And yes, we took a little bit of a break, but we're back to Luke today. So I want you to imagine losing something precious. And I don't mean just misplacing your keys or forgetting where you put your phone, but losing something that means everything to you. Maybe it's your grandmother's wedding ring that slipped off your finger while you were gardening. Or maybe it's your child who wandered away while you were in a crowded store. Well, what will you do? Well, you stop everything. You turn the house upside down. You organize a search party. And no matter what, you don't rest until it's found. Now imagine how you feel the moment that you find it. You have that overwhelming wave of relief, of joy, and of gratitude. It was missing, it's now found. So this morning, we're going to discover that this very human experience gives us a window into the heart of heaven itself. Now, our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, here is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, does not sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what moves the heart of heaven? That's the simple question that Jesus answers through these two simple yet profound parables. In a world that often writes people off, God, he writes them back in. In a society that discards the broken, God pursues the lost with relentless love. So the first thing we're going to talk about is seeking. What are we seeking? It's God's relentless pursuit of the lost. Now, the first thing that strikes us about these parables is who takes the initiative. The sheep doesn't find its own way back to the fold. And the coin, it doesn't just roll back into the woman's hand. In both stories, somebody goes looking. In verse 4, we hear, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Now notice the action words here. Leave, go after, and until he finds. Now this isn't passive waiting. This is active, intentional, relentless pursuit. The woman in the second parable, She shows the same determination. In verse 8, we hear, "What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? She lights a lamp to see in the dark corners, and she sweeps her house methodically. She searches carefully. She searches thoroughly and persistently." Now, this is what God does for us. Before we ever seek God, God is seeking us. Before we ever cry out, "Where are you, God?" God is calling out, "Where are you, my child?" The initiative always belongs to God. We love because God first loved us. We seek because God first sought us. So let's think about our own spiritual journeys. I'm willing to bet that if you trace it back honestly, you'll discover that God was pursuing you long before you were ever pursuing God. That restlessness in your heart, that emptiness that success couldn't fill, the longing for something more. What was that? That was God's love drawing you. It was God seeking you, and it was God refusing to let you go. The beautiful truth is that no one is too far gone for God's reach. The shepherd just doesn't look for sheep that wandered a little bit away. He searches for the one that is completely lost until he finds it. The woman just doesn't look for coins that are easy to find. She searches in the difficult places, the hidden places, the places where things get lost and are forgotten. God's seeking love reaches into the darkest valleys of our lives. It reaches into our deepest shame and into our greatest failures. There is no place so dark that God's light cannot penetrate it. There is no distance so far that God's love cannot cover it. The next thing is significance. What significance is the immeasurable value of each soul? So we ask, but why does the shepherd leave the 99 for just one? Why does the woman turn her house upside down for a single coin? The answer to this reveals something profound about how God values each and every human soul. In Jesus' day, a sheep represented economic value. I would say not just in Jesus' day, even in today's day and age. Now, shepherds didn't keep their sheep as pets. They were their livelihood. A silver coin, a drachma, represented a full day's wages for a working person. But Jesus is telling us that the value of one human soul is immeasurable. Notice from verse 1 who was listening to these parables. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. Now, who were these people? These were the people that society had written off. Tax collectors were considered traitors. They were considered collaborators with the Roman occupation forces. Sinners was a catch-all term for people who just didn't measure up to whatever religious standards people believed in. These were the people the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled about in verse 2. Verse 2 goes, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. But what religious society discarded, God treasured. What the respectable people avoided, Jesus, he welcomed them. The very people who felt worthless in the eyes of others were precious in the sight of God. This flies in the face of how the world typically assigns values. The world values us today based on our productivity, on our achievements, our appearance, our wealth, and/or our connections. But God's economy is radically different. In God's eyes, the homeless person has the same value as the CEO of a large company. The struggling addict has the same worth as a successful entrepreneur. And the broken teenager has the same significance as the respected elder. One matters more than many in God's mathematics. This doesn't mean that the 99 don't matter at all. They do. But it means that God will never sacrifice the one for the sake of the many. God will never write off anyone as acceptable collateral damage. Every single soul is worth pursuing and worth saving. Every single soul is worth celebrating. This should revolutionize how we see ourselves and how we see others. If you've ever felt worthless, forgotten, or disposable, hear this. You are the one sheep worth leaving the 99 for. You are the one coin worth turning the house upside down to find. Your value doesn't depend on your performance or your past. It depends on God's love. God's love is a funny thing. It's a good thing. It never changes. Then we're going to talk about success. God always finds what he seeks. So here's one thing I love about the parables. They both use the word when, not if. In verses 5 and verses 9, we hear, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And we hear that when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors. There is no uncertainty here. God's seeking always results in finding. Now, this speaks to the persistent effectiveness of God's grace. When God sets out to save someone, that mission will be accomplished. Not because God forces anyone against their will, but because God's love is so persistent, so patient, and so creative that it eventually finds a way to reach even the most resistant heart. But notice the gentleness of the finding. When the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he doesn't drive it home. He doesn't scold or punish it. What does he do? He lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. The sheep doesn't have to make the journey back under its own strength. It's carried home in the arms of the one who sought it. This is how God treats us when we're found. There is no condemnation. There is no, I told you so. There's no making us grovel or prove ourselves. There's only gentle restoration and overwhelming joy. The focus isn't on how far we've wandered away or how long we were lost. The focus is on the celebration of being found. I think about the prodigal son in Luke 15. When he finally comes home, he expects to be treated as a servant. His father runs to him. He embraces him and throws a party. That is the heart of God towards every person who comes home. Now, this should give us tremendous hope. If you're struggling with doubt, if you feel like you've wandered away too far, if you wonder whether God would ever love somebody like you, remember this. God's grace is persistent and it's effective. Divine love never fails to reach its target. You may feel lost, but you're never lost to God. Then there's celebration, heaven's joy over the found. The climax of both parables isn't the finding, it's the celebration. And this is revealed to us in verses 6 and 9. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And then when she is found, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost." But Jesus doesn't stop with just earthly celebrations. In verses 7 and 10, he tells us what this means in heavenly terms. "Just so, I tell you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 righteous people, persons who need no repentance." And then, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Can you imagine that? When someone turns to God, when someone comes home to faith, when someone decides to follow Jesus, all of heaven throws a party, and the angels, they all rejoice. God himself celebrates. The entire heavenly host erupts with joy. Now, this stands in stark contrast to the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes. While heaven rejoices over sinners coming to Jesus, the religious leaders, they complain. When God celebrates the found, they criticize the finder. They've completely missed the heart of God. This challenges us to examine our own hearts. When we see somebody give their life to Christ, do we rejoice? When we see somebody who's been far from God come back to faith, are we celebrating? When we see God working in the life of somebody who doesn't look like us, or talk like us, or live like us, do our hearts align with heaven's heart? The church, we should be the most celebrating community on earth because we're in the business that makes heaven happy. Every person who finds faith, every life that's transformed, every heart that turns to God should fill us with the same joy that fills heaven. But it also means that we should be actively participating in God's seeking mission. We should have our eyes open for the lost sheep. We should have our hearts ready to welcome the seeking sinner. And we should have our hands extended to help people find their way back home to God. So as I close this morning, I want you to imagine that you're in the crowd listening to Jesus tell these parables. Maybe you're one of the tax collectors or sinners who came to hear him. You've been told your whole life that you're worthless, that God could never love somebody like you. You may be told that you're too far gone to be saved. And then you hear Jesus say that God is like a shepherd who leaves everything to find that one person, to find you. Like a woman who turns her home upside down to recover you. You hear that heaven itself will throw a party when you come home. On the other hand, maybe you're one of the Pharisees or the scribes. You've spent your whole life following the rules, maintaining your reputation, and keeping your distance from the wrong kind of people. You're proud of your righteousness, and you're comfortable in your position, and you feel that you are certain of your standing with God. And in Jesus, he comes and he challenges you to see that your heart has grown cold to the things that make God's heart sing. What are these things? The return of the lost. Whenever you find yourself this morning, hear this. God is seeking you. Not just humanity in general, but he's seeking you specifically, individually, and personally. You matter to God. Your story matters. Your return would cause a celebration in heaven. The heart of heaven beats with love for the lost and the joy for the found. In a world that often discards and dismisses, God, he seeks and he saves. The question isn't whether God will find the lost. God, he always does. The question is whether you will join the celebration when he does. The question is whether you'll participate in the beautiful, sacred work of seeking lost individuals, in seeking the lost ourselves. May we be a people who reflect the heart of heaven, seeking the lost, celebrating the found, and never, ever giving up on anyone. We need to do this because we need to remember that God, he never ever gives up on us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand as we sing Happy the Home When God Is There.
As we leave here today after this time together, let us remember that this is a sanctuary, a place of peace. As we leave today, may we remember what we have heard today, and may we use it as we meet the world outside. Go today, enjoy the day, go in peace. This service is ended. Amen.